Hi everyone, welcome to the Wild Adventures podcast and a slightly edited episode with one of my dear friends, Nick Brown. So this is a lovely story about how Nick grew up as a fellow expat. Our histories are quite similar, which is interesting, and how we bonded and became friends. And it's kind of about his life and how he turned decisions around and set up his own business straight out of school, and managed to do it without a university degree and really showed some tenacity and drive to make changes in his life and to do something that he was proud of. So I really hope you guys enjoy the episode and get some inspiration of your own when it comes to listening to Nick and how he's got to where he is today.
I love how what you're missing the most right now is work and the pub.
Well, you know, the important things do matter, don't they? So, you know.
Fair enough. That is very fair enough.
God,
so what I was thinking is you could tell us your wonderful story about the amazing life that you've led, because I mean we talk all the time and I sometimes forget you're like me, like you're a travel baby, a world baby that's lived all over the place and probably feels just as lost in Scotland as I do. And for the people that are going to end up listening to this, you are in fact Scottish despite your royal accent.
I'll be Scottish for the day, shall I?
Yes. Can you even do a Scottish accent?
No.
So come on then, let's hear this nice lovely story because it is very interesting.
So start where? It's in like my childhood growing up.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well let's see now. I'll start off from abroad. So I'll start off in Egypt.
Yes.
Now, I think I was either 3 or 4 years old then.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of, so what's that, 1980s. And yeah, got all the wonderful smells and the heat and the chaos and the pollution. Actually, to be honest, it probably hasn't changed at all since when I was there. But it was just full of these really lovely, kind people. From what I remember, I've been back since, and I was there with my mum, and my dad was off in the army, and when we were just kind of going around the kind of the pools and the with all the other expats and things like that, and just a really kind of lovely time in my life.
Yeah.
And so I was only actually there for about 18 months. It wasn't terribly long, but I've got quite a few memories considering how young I was there, especially the. I remember kind of around there and you know all the kind of heat and the chaos and then these kind of wonderful structures just in front of you. And then after that, it was like a tour of the world. So yeah. we went to Greece. So we went to Oman first and was there for about 3 and a half years. And I was usual kind of expat school there, and that's obviously it's obviously a desert and really isn't much there, but except for oil, you know. And also if you're British, because Britain helped the Sultan Qaboos get power there, they loved all the Brits there in particular. And we're there for 3 years in all these kind of hugely ostentatious palaces, if you want to say that. Absolutely gigantic houses. Like, you know, the kind of ones the rich ads would live in, you know.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, especially compared to the West, where you're kind of stuck in these tiny little things, and we had pools and maids and servants. You know, it's mad, really. I'm not sure, you know, how much these poor people must have been paid. It must have been terrible for them, really, now thinking back. But, and then, so after about kind of 3 and a bit years there, my parents my dad was in the military in Oman, and mum was in the hospital there, and with kind of everything going on, it was a lovely time. And because where you are in Oman, you can then fly to Asia and to all these other places really cheaply, not like kind of Britain where everything costs the earth. And So yes, I remember being young. Then we went to Nepal, and you know, being on a kind of, I was a rickshaw there and things like that, and going around the mountains. And obviously not to Everest, but there's lots of other kind of hills you can kind of wander around. And we did some camping and stuff like that. So it's all kind of good fun stuff.
Was that the holiday you said was your favourite memory of you and your mum was in Nepal?
I think it must have been, actually. I'm just trying to think back, because there've been a few, but yeah, I mean I suppose that, and there was another holiday which I'll tell you when we get to it, and that was also great fun. That was in Estonia, but yes, no, it was a lot of fun actually, and. Well, I suppose when you're young, it's different, isn't it? I mean, I was very young as well. It's about kind of, what am I, like seven now? It was kind of a unique moment.
Yeah.
And then after that, went to Dubai for a little bit, and then eventually end up in South Africa.
Yay! You're finally on the right continent again.
Finally, yeah. Took long enough. And so in South Africa, so when Mandela has been released from prison when we kind of arrive there. So anyway, so when South Africa, it's in South Africa now. So I go to a mixed race school there, which so there's all this kind of mad racism, and not entirely sure if there's going to be a civil war and all this other things that's going on in the country. I'm having this kind of strange little idyllic lifestyle with all these kind of black and white kids kind of wandering around. And I remember I had a birthday party, so am I kind of eight or nine now? And they all come around to this kind of all-white neighbourhood. And I remember all the looks that people used to give us. There'd be all these kind of black and white kids playing in the kind of grounds of this house together. It was it was a mad time, actually. But that was the last place that I lived abroad. I wasn't even in South Africa terribly long, although it feels like I was only there for about a year or 18 months long, but that was a lot of fun. And then after that, I came back to Scotland, back to Edinburgh for my kind of education.
Do you feel that those first 10, 11 years of your life really impacted who you are today?
Yeah, definitely. I always talk about them and always think about it actually. So yes, I think it was important. Definitely. And if I hadn't done it, I'd like to have thought I would have travelled and experienced a bit of the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite important to me, really. I enjoy just travelling and seeing different people and, you know, things like that, which is just good fun, actually.
And what do you do now as well with your business? I mean, you travel all over the place to see clients and stuff. So you've taken that on and made it part of your lifestyle completely, hey?
Yeah, well, actually, I haven't thought about it. It was probably more by accident, but yes, definitely.
It's not an accident. It's engineered. You had this plan the whole time, Nick.
Actually, you're right. It wasn't by accident. It was my genius that just kind of came out.
Exactly. Take credit where credit is due.
Mind you saying that, we're talking about it being a good decision. I think with the virus coming up, it feels like a less good decision now, but anyway, we'll kind of muddle through somehow, you know.
You'll get there. I mean, you're already starting to talk about new business ideas, and that's one thing that we really bonded over, is the fact that we're constantly thinking about new business ideas and new things to do to keep us occupied.
Oh, which definitely.
Is entertaining.
It's important to obviously do something you enjoy, but also find new things to do, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I personally think if businesses that don't keep changing and trying to, you know, innovate or survive, they end up going bust. I mean, you see that so much now, don't you? So
yeah.
It is important, I think. So, yeah. But, and then after I went to school here in Edinburgh and... end up going to on the holiday you're talking about to Estonia.
Tell us all about it.
I'm not entirely sure how old I'm there. Maybe I'm 18, 20. I'm not sure. I'm around then. I'm old enough to drink, which is important.
that's 12? Legally drink. Got it.
Yes, I mean, and God, I had. So I don't know if you've been to Estonia, but it's really cold. Actually, very nice people, and they're kind of, you know, they've been suppressed by the Soviet sort of way. And it kind of turns into this kind of drinking, walking holiday. So strange, it's strange, isn't it, how you manage to bond with people over alcohol, isn't it? But no, it was good fun. And kind of, it's a different culture, which is what I enjoy, and the kind of new things to experience. I mean, I've never been to Russia, but it was quite Russian. The kind of people live there, and you know, new kind of experiences, really. So yes, it was good fun, definitely.
So what was it about the holiday, besides the drinking and walking, that makes that stick out as one of your key holidays, key memories?
Just because it was so different.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't hot, or because a lot of the places I go to are hot. Mm. I like, you know, the fear. Maybe that's back to the childhood again because of all the hot temperatures I lived in. But it was really cold, and the people were very different. The food there was terrible.
You're not supposed to say that.
You can cut that out, and we can say how wonderful the food was. You know.
No, this is all staying. The truth finally comes out from Nick Brown.
Well, if somehow I end up disappearing and ending up in some Russian prison somewhere, we know it's
because it's because of your critique of Estonian food.
Oh God, but I thought it was just a very different holiday. I just like experiencing these new things, and those, yeah, all the kind of, you know, all the old Soviet buildings, and in kind of, and then right in the middle of Tallinn, there's some beautiful old town, just like you do in Edinburgh. So it was kind of a mixture of, well, except obviously the rest of Edinburgh's quite nice, but it was kind of you had a mixture of all the old Soviet kind of high rises, and then kind of, I don't know, like 12th century castle and stuff right in the middle. It's lovely. So it was a great trip. Actually, I'm starting to sound like somebody out of the kind of Tallinn tourism board here, aren't I? But
a little bit. You're starting to like Estonia, and I mean, besides the food, everything was quite fantastical, and obviously sticks in your memory for being different.
It's so different. I mean, kind of very. People were very kind of, they were generally pretty pleasant, because there's a mixture of kind of Russia and Estonians living there. So you could go into who was who, because the Estonians were really warm and friendly, and then you had the Russians who were kind of really offhand. It was an interesting place, actually. And I mean, there wasn't a huge amount to do there, because I was there in the winter, and hence why I keep saying how cold it was. But because some of the touristy things are finished, but so we ended up doing some kind of the things the locals did, and kind of went to some kind of the local restaurants and things like that. It was just good fun.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah. So
cool. You're also the type of person that when you go somewhere, you want to experience what the locals experience, as opposed to what the tourists see, or do you quite enjoy the tourist side of stuff as well?
I do the tourist side, but I try and. I think try and have a kind of an experience, you know, a kind of a local experience of what people do. I mean, it's one thing I was looking at doing in my business, which was to offer people an experience that they can have, which you can't just get in some big tour, if you know what I mean. So, but I mean, there wasn't that option in Estonia, but it was just nice just to do something different. Well, yes, no, absolutely.
Excellent. So would you say that you've got quite an adventurous life? Would you say that your life was an adventurous life?
Well, I suppose the holidays, yes. I mean, I spend quite a lot of time working, so
yeah.
I mean, when I can. I mean, as we discussed earlier, obviously, you know, I do like a pub, so it's but yes, no, I think I enjoy to get out, experience things. I mean, maybe that's from my upbringing. I don't know, or maybe it's just where I am. But it's always fun to experience new things. So yes. I do probably enjoy it a bit, yeah.
So, obviously you said that you've really been missing work the past 2 months. So would you now see work as being a sort of adventure? Because you just mentioned you work a lot, so life isn't an adventure, but now you've been out of work for 2 months and not being able to run the business the way you've been used to. So has your view of work changed?
I suppose in its importance, not just from earning money, but just for me, because I do enjoy it. So from that side of things, I mean, I've certainly been at a loose end, not kind of doing anything. And of course, with everything that's going on, it's not like you can go out and see friends and, you know, go up and do things, is it?
Yeah, that's true.
Where, you know, where suddenly queuing up at the supermarket suddenly seems like a treat, doesn't it? But it's...
Which, ironically enough, when you're used to living in third world countries, queuing up for the grocery store was an adventure then as well.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
I wonder what we'll find today.
Yes, and just like some of the third world supermarkets, where especially when they started, you never quite knew what the supermarket was going to have.
Exactly. So tell us about your transition into being a business owner, you know, from school days to becoming a business owner, because we've talked about this before and I think the story is just absolutely hilarious. By hilarious, I mean your decision points and how you self-sabotaged along the way on purpose.
You're talking about the university.
Yes, I am. Because I thought that was genius. What a way to stick two fingers up, hey?
Yes, also, when you said that, I was just hoping you weren't meaning that, but no, you were.
So. Of course I was.
Yes. Okay, well, we have
Unless
to...
Unless there's something you haven't told me, in which case, open up. Yeah,
I wish that was true, but no, it wasn't just... It was just a huge... Oh, okay, so we have to talk about... So anyway, so I finished school. Well, I'm finishing school. And instead of doing what normal people would do and kind of go off to university, for some reason I get... I know exactly why I get it to my head. So I read Richard Branson's autobiography, and he didn't go to university. So I thought, I don't need to go. And so it kind of felt... Which actually is, you know, as an kind of... Well, an adult now, we'll class me as a mature adult, shall we?
This week at least, yes.
We'll see later on, you know. It probably won't be when the pub's open again, but still, you know.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Nick.
Absolutely. So anyway, yes. So I read this autobiography and he doesn't go to university. And so again, to my head, I don't need to, which is fine, but it kind of starts this kind of huge battle of wills with my mum to go to university. Mm-hmm. And but one thing it did do, because I didn't get the grades, I had to obviously do something, you know, I didn't want to end up some kind of bum for the rest of my life. So I'm very determined to set up a business, which is what I do. I want to do that anyway. Yeah. And the one point about me going to university was that was going to take 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, when you're 18, 4 years suddenly seems like a huge amount of time. And now it doesn't seem like a big deal, really. But So anyway, I start that up. So the first business gets set up. That's a concierge business. So I deal with kind of household things, everything from people who can't be bothered to do their linen stuff, or I organise plumbers and things like that, which actually was really good fun. And then only about kind of, I don't know what it was now, 18 months later or so, the bankers do the credit crunch. Mm-hmm. And that screws everything up, and which really comes to what I believe in business, and I said this earlier, is the fact that you have to keep changing to thrive. Well, I have anyway. I'm not sure about other people, but and if I hadn't have done well, especially in a credit crunch, when nobody had a penny, I wouldn't have had a business. So I kind of developed, and that's when I went into the kind of the really unglamorous but world of cleaning, which is what people wanted. They wanted wanted good cleaners, so I did that for a few years. But I, apart from that, I didn't really enjoy it. There was a much bigger, more important thing coming in the horizon with Airbnb. I remember the first client actually applying for it, talking to me about it, because I was involved in linen as well at the time with cleaning, which is everything you needed at the time for Airbnb.
Yeah.
And the guy was talking to me about it. I was trying to be all kind of cool and trying to know what it was. I'd never heard of Airbnb when I was talking to him about it.
Oh my god!
We were back to 2015, 2016 now. because Edinburgh was slightly later than London. Anyway, he was talking to me on the phone, and I was talking away to him, and then I was on the laptop at the time typing in Airbnb trying to work out what he was talking about. You know, I mean, I really had no idea. I was so far behind where everybody else was, and I was talking to him, saying, "Of course we can do that." As I was on Google trying to work out what the hell it's all about. So
I love it.
It's a strange time. I mean, it's the thing of, well, for me anyway, for business half of it's bullshit, isn't it? You've got to work out what's the and then days later we were going into our first Airbnb. And then he was happy with the work we were doing, and then we went into managing it, and that's been it since 2016, so I'm not entirely sure when I spoke to him. 16. But it was around then anyway. Yeah. So and obviously I'm going to then have to do the same thing I did then, change again to whatever you need to survive. So yeah. I remember a friend who studied business was about the nearest I ever got to university, and he said he learned about it, and that business is 10% what happens and 90% how you react to it. So for me,
exactly. That's quite right, actually. That's very accurate, I would say, on how businesses survive.
Yes, well, I think for a lot of people, that's probably going to be what it's like with the recession coming.
Yeah, definitely.
But still, so no, I believe that quite bashfully now. And every time I have changed, it's worked out for the best. So
yeah,
you could talk to me in a year, and I'll be saying, "God, I should never have changed." You know,
But see, look at it now. You didn't go to university, and you did end up with a business dealing with Airbnb lets and cleaning.
Yes, well, no, I mean that is true. So it's it's worked out fine. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, "Realize, have an effect."